Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
There are times that I have acted like I know something about something that I actually know nothing about. Just a confession to make. There are times I've allowed others to think I know more about something than I actually know about. And maybe it wasn't intentionally, but, you know, I think everybody's been there. We've had someone explain something that we needed to do, and we actually needed their help in explaining it. And so they start telling us, and what do? We nod our head, like, yeah, I got it. Husbands and wives, I know y'all do this all the time. Or at least I think you do, because I don't think I'm the only one. I will call and give my wife direct. Yep, got it. And then when it comes time for that thing that I gave her directions on to occur, she'll either call me back. What did you say again? Has anybody been? You're not about to raise your hand. I understand. Or it's the other way around. Your wife asks you to do something. Did you get that? What did you say again? Everybody's been there, and I think that we all do that to a point. And why? Well, the question is why? Because, you know, it can portray that maybe we don't care. Maybe it can be the truth that we don't care. Maybe it's because we know we're not going to be tested on it. And it's just not that big a deal. And maybe it's just because we don't pay attention. And I think that oftentimes is the case. Sometimes in a conversation, you're just a part of something you know nothing about, but you sure pretend you do. You sure pretend you do. It's kind of fun sometimes letting people think that you know more about something than you do. And I don't, maybe it's not. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe you'd say that. Well, why are you nodding while I'm talking? See, because you're pretending. We learned this from a very early age. Here we go. From a very early age, we have army men. And do we not, from a very early age, go out in the woods and pretend we're in the army? Come on, all you guys that have done that. All right, good. I'm not the only one. Praise. See, we're going out, and you got guys that are up on top of rocks laying there like this, and I've done that exact pose. I look just like that guy. I have beautiful trees I've hid behind. I've had tanks and I got all the sound effects too. A lot of young people don't learn to talk before they learn sound effects. There's sound effects. I'm good at it. One of my favorite things as a kid, I remember. And for those of you young people out there, this is called a doctor's bag. It's actually a kit. In the 1980s, doctors quit using doctor's bags. And I didn't really think about that, but as I was preparing my sermon, I started thinking, you know, I've not seen many kids with doctor's bags lately. And I had started thinking about, because doctors don't make house calls for the most part. Now, there's a few of them, obviously, that might, but they used to go around from town to town. The doctor was in town, and he'd go to everybody's house. He didn't have a clinic. And so he'd go to the town, and he would have a kit with him. And I had a kit when I was growing up. And you had, what do you call this thing? A stethoscope, very good, very good. And I'm not going to break it, because if I put it around my head, it would. But these are supposed to go in your ears, and I just, for grins, I thought, oh no, you better sanitize it before you get it back. This is a thermometer, and I was asking the young people this morning, where does this go? It depends on how old you are. Then you have a needle. Hey, I got to tell you, I was asking where this went this morning. Olivia said on your forehead. That's not the way they did it when I was a kid. This is a needle, a syringe. Nobody wants to talk about these. This was a cool thing. You could look inward into people with this. It's cool. And I would go around and I had brothers. One that was 7 years younger than me, and he couldn't really fight back. And so I would examine my brother. And here, let me look in your ear. And I would examine my other brother that's 2 years younger than me with this. Here, slow down. We got to see. Obviously, you're working, but I want to make sure. So what doctor's kits were fun, and what you would do is you would pretend that you were in the story. You were a part of it. I kind of apprehensive to tell you this part of the story, but I'm going to anyway. I wanted an easy bake oven. I needed to support my habit. And so I would, come on, give me the only, and see, the reason I wanted an easy bake oven, because you didn't really have to pretend. The stuff that came out of the easy bake was the real deal. But I'd go to friends' houses, and they had these things, and you're like, okay, what's this? A microwave. They didn't have those when I was a kid. So they had this stuff right here, these ovens, and you could put things in it, and you could adjust the dial, and you could pretend like, and how many young people have ever enjoyed this or one like it? Okay, yeah. Most of the women are raising their hand. The guys are like, I ain't raising my hand, but I did. So you would pretend. Well, what did you pretend? You pretended like you were something that you weren't. But really, that's what you did. But see, as a kid, it wasn't even pretending to me. When I got my doctor's bag, I was a doctor. When I got on my stick horse, I was the Lone Ranger. And if I had a friend over, he was Tonto. So, I mean, that's what I was. And I would, it wasn't just pretending, that's who I was. If I was in the woods, I was real military. And there was real people coming after me. And they weren't going to win. And that's just, I could ride a stick horse better than anybody. I was the best shot this side of Springfield. I was. And see, I want you to remember as a kid that you pretended to. Come on, who out there pretended when you were a kid? Everybody did. And we like that. I mean, now as adults, we're wanting kids to pretend. We go buy them Barbie cars with batteries. Maybe you didn't, but we did. Our daughters still talk about it. It was a neat sports car that they could drive around. They couldn't go to Springfield in it, but they could drive around our basement. And it was fun for them, and they still enjoyed. And see, there was different things that kids enjoy. I know that they make this really cool tractor with pedals. Now, here's the real cool thing. They even have these things now that have loaders on the front, and they can pick up things and do it like it's the real deal. But here's the thing. They're just pretending. Because it's not really a tractor. It's not really a tractor. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe you ruined it for them. They're pretending. Young people buy pretend stoves, pretend army figures, pretend guns. My girls had a little playhouse. And it still sets up by Josh and Ashlyn's house. And they would pretend that it was their house. And that they could just live there. Until it got dark. See, I want you to hear me. When we were younger, we would play and we would pretend, and that's a good thing for our imaginations. So I'm not here to make fun of that. I'm here to say that was a good thing. I'm not here to say we should never pretend. We should pretend as kids. Let's talk about what it means to pretend. Here is the definition. It's a verb. And here's the verbal response to pretend. Here's what it is. Speak and act so as to make it appear that something is the case when in fact it is not. Let's just say it one more time, make sure we got it. It's to speak and act so as to make it appear that something is the case when in fact it is not. Now, as a child, we learn that it's good to dream. It's good to pretend. Pretend starts young people into dreaming. It helps us to learn to imitate a mom or a dad and people that are actually not pretending anymore and doing it in life. But when we become adults, there's a point at which we need to quit pretending. See, there comes a time in life where you quit speaking and acting to make it appear that something is the case, when in fact, boy, this is going to be really good, when in fact it's not. See, I'm 1 Corinthians 13:11. 13:11, and many of you probably have this verse memorized, but I want to make sure we know it. When I was a child, I spoke, I thought, and I reasoned as a child. But when I became an adult, when I grew up, the Bible says I put away childish things. Church, I want you to know the message isn't that hard today. What I want you to think about is what areas in your life are you appearing that something is the case when in fact it's not? And I'm talking about concerning the things of God. There's a definition as an adult, if you want to just replace it with pretend. If you're pretending as an adult, here's a definition that you might think. It means accidentally making or intentionally making a false statement. If you're pretending as an adult, then you're intentionally making a false statement. If you're pretending as an adult, you are intentionally making a false statement. Let me just tell you what that's the definition of. Lie. If you're pretending as an adult, you're lying. See, when you grow up, you don't pretend you're something you're not. As a child, you can almost make yourself believe you were that. But as an adult, we've got to quit that. See, we've seemed to learn that with everything that pertains to life, we can't really pretend. Why? Because we'll be found out. You can't go into pretending you're a doctor. You can't pretend that you're a mechanic because you'll be found out. As soon as they bring you a car, you're going to get found out. As soon as you kill somebody, you're going to find out you weren't a doctor or you hurt them. This all came to me, and as sermons do, just in general life. The last couple weeks, Grandpa, which I'm thrilled he's here today because I've been talking about him in and out of my sermons the last few weeks, he was in a nursing facility, and there was a lot of nurses around. Go figure. Nursing facility, nurses. Everywhere you turn, there was a nurse. And there was a few doctors, and we had dealt with and visited with doctors. And the thing is, I want you to know today I'm thankful and appreciative of nurses and doctors. I'm grateful for their care and the things they have to say and the knowledge that they walk in. See, what we know about nurses and doctors is they have an understanding of how the body works. We go to them because we don't really understand it all, and they do. And so they hopefully will tell you what you need to do, what you should do, the plan you should follow, the medicine you should take, the therapy you should be in to get well. I mean, that's what we go to them for. And so we were up there, and I was trying to figure out, because what happens every once in a while when you get a bunch of them, sometimes they start operating on opinions. And that's okay, because what happens is one starts thinking this, and the other one starts thinking this, and the other one. And it's not that any one of them are wrong, but you can't do all three at once. Don't get up without your oxygen at three. The other one says, don't get up without your oxygen at five. And the other one says this. And so we're trying, well, what's it matter? Because you don't want your oxygen falling below 90%. And we have this little meter that, Grandpa, you have it on your hand right now. Wave it to everybody. Your meter that's on your finger. See that thing right there? Hold that up. Can you see, everybody? That's how he tells if he's still alive. That's how he tells if he's still breathing. And I think that's relating to if you're alive or not. Because if you're alive, you're still breathing. And that's kind of my little joke with Grandpa. Grandpa, just keep breathing. Because as long as you're breathing, you can live. But the thing is, you have to breathe enough oxygen to where your body runs at a 90% or above for your body to function. And so I learned this. I should be a nurse, huh? So I know it. I know that that's what you, my daughter's, no, you have no compassion. So this sermon kind of came to me because here was the thing. I'd heard three different nurses, and you know how I am. I'm quite the delegator. And I'm just like, okay, this nurse here, you need to be doing this. The call light is my friend in any hospital or anything else. That means somebody can come in. I can tell them what to do. And so we have this call light in the rooms. And we have all this stuff going on. And so what's happening is we have a bunch of people coming in and telling us what to do, but they're all telling us something different. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go meet with the head nurse. Because I want to make sure they all know the same thing. And I know the way that everybody knows the same thing, shares the same vision, and has the same information is you go to the top. So I just went to the top. And I sit down and I started talking and visiting. And I was sharing about the different rates and the different things that they had told us and all the things that should be in his chart that weren't. And so I'm visiting about all this stuff. And and the nurse kind of stops and goes, "You are very knowledgeable." Thank you. I know what I'm talking about. And I was just kind of listening and hearing her come back, and she was agreeing with everything I said. Now, we're getting somewhere. Agreement means that we can head somewhere. So we're coming into agreement. And then she said some things that I didn't really know. Well, the more we talked, the more that I was becoming super knowledgeable. And so I'm thinking, I am on the same level as the head nurse. So all I got to do is go back in the room, and I know more than the nurses. Now, you got to know that if I had done that, I would have been pretending. See, so I'm going back in the room, and I'm hearing these nurses talking, and I'm thinking, head nurse said different. And so I'm sitting here listening and talking and visiting. Now, I didn't get all prideful and I didn't act the way I'm probably coming across. But what I did was I just heard. Here's what I started thinking while I'm in the middle of all of that. I had so much information that I had received while we have been in and out of the hospital, in nursing facilities for the last month and a half. And praise God, we're back. And it wasn't because of Ashley Ellison. It was because of nurses and doctors, praise God. But ultimately, it's because of the great physician, and he used them, and they were just a pathway to get him into health, and I get all that. But I started thinking, after I had visited and was listening to the nurses come in, I could pretend I was a nurse, and then they listened to me. See, I could pretend, and all of this started going through my, I think I could have made the head nurse believe that I was really a nurse. I think I could have made the ones that were coming in believe that, because I didn't have to talk about everything, and I could have just nodded my head when they started talking. See, I could have nodded my head, and I could have pretended. But if I would have pretended, hear me, I would have been lying. But I could have pretended. I could have pretended and just acted like this is really who I was. And I believe with all that I am that I could have convinced them in that situation. But if something would have happened and they'd have called on my name because I made them believe I was something that I wasn't, somebody could have got hurt or even died. And I was thinking about that. Pastor, what's that have to do with anything today? Well, we got to quit pretending. See, I could have said if they found out I wasn't, oh, I was just pretending. It was funny, wasn't it? I see people do that on Facebook. Oh, I was JK. I was JK. Do you mean you were pretending? Or do you mean that you were lying? Or were you really kidding? Just something to think about. I'm not going to go on that one very long. See, we have too many Christians pretending to be something they are not. And they're oftentimes fooling everybody else around them. And they're sometimes even fooling themselves. Just like a child can make themselves believe they are a doctor. Just like a child can make themselves believe. And I'm all for, I believe that they can do that. I was that person when I got my stick horse. It might as well have been the real deal. See, here's why I bring this up today is because we got too many Christians that are claiming Christianity, but they're not living it. They're claiming it and not living it. Why do we have so many people who seem to be pretending that they are Christians? Well, Pastor, who are you to say that? I am amazed at how many people are claiming Christianity in the United States of America. And then when they're asked to pray or asked to do something from a biblical standpoint, oh, get somebody else. Hold on, you said you were a Christian. If you're a Christian, then you obviously pray. Oh, I don't pray. If you're a Christian, you had to pray to become a Christian. See, there is just some things that we back off of and go, I don't know. If you're a Christian, there are just some things that you do. If you're a Christian, you desire the things of God. There's a desire. So the Bible should be desired. I was so mad a couple of years ago when our president stood up and said, we are no longer a Christian nation. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but I remember the first time I heard that and I about fell on the floor. I was so mad. And I heard many arguing and disapproving that, and I was one of them. But since then, I have watched what's happened in the United States of America. And really, to be honest, there's not a lot of things I do believe that comes out of his mouth. But I now look back and realize he was right. We're no longer a Christian nation. Well, wait a minute here. I'm a Christian and I live here. I'm just telling you, we are no longer a Christian nation. Why? Because I don't see it. And the Bible says that you can see the fruit of Christianity. And I'm seeing it fail and fall time and time again. See, we haven't put away childish things. We haven't put away childish things. The things that we haven't put away is the way we talk, the way we think, and the way we reason. Those things have not been put away. And I may get into more of that over the next few weeks. But today, I just want to get to a point where we can recognize that in some areas, we may need to put away some childish things. There may be some things that need to be put up. I don't think anyone here as an adult is acting like they're a doctor when they're not. See, I don't think anybody here is going in and acting like you're a nurse. In fact, I see people say, okay, here's a condition I'm dealing with or that I'm dealing with my child, and I need all of you to help. And I'll see a bunch of posts, and what I'll have is a bunch of ideas and thoughts that I'm reading that people are saying, here's what you might want to try, here's what you might want to try, here's what you might want to try. And I appreciate all those things. But then I'll read someone that says, I'm a nurse. And I watch somebody say, oh, and I'm not a nurse, and I'm not a nurse, and I'm not a nurse. And they're just saying, hey, I wasn't pretending. Here's what I'd like to see when people are responding to a post on Facebook. A bunch of people are throwing out opinions, and I'd like for someone to say, and I'm a Christian and live by it and believe it and operate in it. I speak by it, I think like it, and I reason my life based on the Word of God. And so that's what I'm talking about. See, I'm not just arguing to be arguing. I think there's a cause here, and the cause is Jesus Christ. That's the cause, and that's why I'm sitting here talking about it. See, come on, I want you to understand, we oftentimes are pretending in Christianity. We're acting like someone when, like we like, we're acting times like we like someone when actually we can't stand them. Okay, now I'm getting ready to step on toes. But know this, if you come to church and don't get your toes stepped on, there might be a problem. There's got to be something I can receive when I'm coming out of here that I can change and be better. But we can't walk in and act like we like someone when deep down we can't stand them. We can't? Well, I guess you can, because a lot of people do. We were talking about this just yesterday. Just yesterday, I was visiting with the people that, and trying to help and visit and help. I'm not real good at both of those. I can either visit or help, not both. But yesterday, I was with a bunch of women that were multitasking, so I tried to be that. Help and visit. And so while I'm trying to talk, we were just talking about this. You know, the sad thing is, a lot of people pretend they like someone, but they're carrying a knife around behind them ready to stab them in the back. But right in front of their face, they're great. They're just great. And it was said, I just like people to be straightforward with me and just tell me right off the bat. And I'm like, I don't. I'd rather them always be nice to me. But the stabbing in the back when you're not in front of The stabbing in the back thing when you're not in front of them, come on. See, are you pretending to be something you're not? Are you pretending? Are you pretending when in actuality that's not really what you think? See, behind your back, what someone else is saying is important. Maybe not to you, but to them. Because they don't need to be pretending. They don't need to be pretending. And what I'm saying is you don't have to go and be the real deal and say, I hate you in front of them. You need to be a Christian and operate under the principles of the word. And going to them and acting like you're not a Christian is no different than going behind their back and stabbing them. Both of them are wrong. See, and in Christianity, you got to do it right. I've heard people say, well, I'd rather them just be honest with me. I'd rather them treat me on front or on back with the love of Christ. That's what I'd like. See, I'd just like for that to happen. Can you just love people? That's what the Bible says, we're supposed to love people, but we don't understand love. Too many people talking about people like they were still in high school. Here's the thing. I am frustrated at times at why people in high school talk the way they do. But I can go right back to Corinthians 13. They're just still a child. And they think and they speak and they reason and act and all these things they do as a child. I'm just praying they'll grow up. But we got a lot of people who are claiming Christianity that have never grown up. They've never put away these childish things. You know, I learned a long time ago, if offense starts to come up in me, and I'm just talking right now, so we're just visiting, but offense starts to come up in me, and everybody deals with it, it starts to come up. Oh, I'm getting ready to get offended. And you may not be doing this on the outside, but on the inside, that's exactly what's going on. See, offense is coming up. It's coming up, and there are two ways that you need to look at it as a Christian. See, if you're a Christian, there's two ways that you can deal with that when that offense starts coming. One is maybe you needed to hear what they had to say. They said something. Well, I don't like the way they said it. Well, get over it. See, if you're going to let offense get you, it's not getting them, it's getting you. They're not shaking on the inside, you are. That offense starts coming, maybe you need to just back up and with the right attitude, look at what they said and go, that was true. That was true. I didn't maybe handle that right. Or they were saying something about the way that I've been doing something and giving me another idea. What, do I not know what I'm doing? You telling me what I mean, you didn't say that, but behind their back, you really what so-and-so said. They told me I needed to do that different. I mean, people do that. Can you believe what they said? I just can't believe it. They were right. You are walking around with a lot of anger. You are walking around frustrated all the time, and you look like you just ate a prune. They're right. Could you smile a little bit? Who are you to tell me anything? Smile. See, maybe what they said was right. Now, I'm not agreeing that the way they said it might not have been wrong. The way they said it, maybe. But what they said, maybe you needed to hear. So that's one way to look at it. And another way to look at it is they were wrong. They don't know anything they're talking about. They were talking and they were nodding. They were pretending or they were whatever. They were wrong. They were absolutely wrong. Okay, good. So they were wrong. We've established that. Then what do? You be a Christian and pray for them. One of two ways. Either they were right or they were wrong. And you can keep yourself from getting offended when you learn those two things. Either they were right and you needed to hear it regardless of how they said it or what they said, they were right. Or they were wrong. And if they were wrong, you be a Christian and help them to get right. As a Christian, not in the flesh. Help them to get right. Love them. Appreciate them. Well, it's hard to appreciate someone when they did what they did or said what they said. Then you're not walking in Christianity. You're just pretending. You're just pretending. Quit pretending to be a real Christian. Come on, quit pretending. You signed up for this. Pray for them. Love them. Quit talking behind their backs. Quit being the one that's walking around with the knife ready to stab them as soon as they turn around. See, you be a Christian and start loving people. Just go and start praying. You know, you can't pray for someone you're mad at. You can't. When you're mad at them and frustrated, the last thing you want to do is approach the Lord with their name. Why? Because if you're approaching the Lord, you got to have the right heart. When you have the right heart approaching God, it's then that he'll soften you and you'll go, oh, God, thank you for this person. Thank you for the call upon their life. And God, I thank you that I can be a friend of them and I can love them. Maybe I can find a way to bless them somehow. But people walk in offense. Well, they say, what about when they sinned? All right, well, that's a great point. Turn to Matthew 18. Y'all still with me? Matthew 18, verse 15. 18, verse 15. What if they sinned against me? I'm glad you asked. The Bible specifically outlines what you're supposed to do. See, if another brother or sister that's in Christ sins against you, but they're a Christian and they hurt my feelings. They're a Christian and here's what they did to me. Matthew 18, 15 talks about this. It says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you've won that person back and all's good. No one's offended, no one's hurt. Verse 16, but if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say will be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then or he or she won't accept the church's decision. Treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. I haven't had a lot go to the third point here. The first one is you go privately. The second time you go to them collectively. The third time you bring the offense before the church and let them make the decision. Only a couple of times in the last 11 years have I seen that happen. Most of the time when you go privately, it pretty much will end it. Pretty much every time if both people's hearts are right, it'll end it. Or second time when you go collectively, a lot of times that won't end it. It just ends them. You don't have to bring it before the church. They just leave. Seen that happen. And I've seen it happen in churches I haven't been a part of. But it's never the intent to separate people from the kingdom of God. See, Paul and Barnabas didn't agree. But they were both effective for the kingdom and just went different routes. There are times that we just go different routes on opinions. But when it comes to sin, we better get it straight. We better get it straight. And that's what this is talking about. It's talking about sin. See, I'm seeing that we have way too many claiming but not living Christianity. Don't be a claimer, be a liver. Be one of someone who lives it. You may ask, why are Christians doing that? It's just an attack of the enemy. He wants you to act childish. He don't want you to think as a Christian. He don't want you to reason. See, he don't want you to have any of the things that Christians can have. You turn on the news and you watch people every day claiming Christianity. And if you know anything about the Word, there are some candidates real quick you can realize are in opposition to the Word of God. But when you don't know the Word, you can't realize that. See, you got to know the Word. Come on, real Christian people know the Word. And we can, as we hear the Word, well, you say, well, I just got saved. Great, you've got a season where you better dive into that Word and get it in you because the attacks of life, come on, they'll come. They'll come and you'll either fold or you'll come out on top and live the abundant life through it. But attacks are going to come. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to good people. I get that. But it's what happens while they're in the attack. What happens while they're in prison. It happens when they're in distress. What happens when they're in the health crisis. The way we overcome is through the blood of Jesus. And we act and operate with that. The real problem that we have isn't with those who aren't claiming Christianity. You know that they're not claiming it, and you know they're a heathen. You know they're not going to be doing things the way God. The problem we're having is with Christians who aren't acting like Christians. That's why I'm talking to the church today. I'm not on a street corner preaching this message. I'm preaching it in church. We can't be pretending as adults. Now, you can when you're playing with young people. But you can't be pretending to be a Christian and not. Everyone in here knows someone who claims Christianity but doesn't live it. I pray that when I said that, no one thought your name. I have met people in life that fooled everyone. They pretended for years. But let me just say something today. You'll never fool God. You may fool the pastor. You may fool the youth pastor. But you can't pretend with God. If you in life have proclaimed Jesus as Lord, He knows whether you are serious or not. See, you don't really have a responsibility to prove it to everyone here. Your commitment was with Him. Well, see, I don't care what everybody else says. Then you didn't really commit to Him. I'm just saying, if you've truly committed to Him, then you do care what people think and say and do. Because you've got to care there for people. You love people. You love people. Psalm 26, 4. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. That's what the Bible says. God says He ain't going with pretenders. See, He's always watching. And He's always watching. And let me just say this. He's not always watching just so He can say, gotcha. Gotcha. That's not what God's doing. He's not waiting to catch you. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16, 9, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. God wants to strengthen you. So be fully committed so you can get strengthened. Be fully committed. So what do, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's what you do. You get committed and quit pretending. Quit pretending. Grow up. Well, how do I grow up? 3 points today in what you need to do. First, you got to grow up in your proclamation, what you're proclaiming. A lot of people proclaim Christianity and they say that, and they're following the scriptures. It means you're making a proclamation, and that's a good place to start if you're serious. But here's where a lot of people end. They only proclaim. They only make a proclamation. The second thing is in location. Proclamation and in location. What do you mean? Where you find yourself. Many people give the excuse that if they don't go out and hang out with some of these people, they'll never see the things of God. So I need to hang out with this group of people. Well, this group of people is in sin and not operating right. Yeah, but I'm the Christian and I don't want to ignore them. Then you're saying that you're going in to be a missionary, and missionaries don't go in and involve themselves with the things that these other people are doing. See, if you'll be around someone who proclaims Christianity all the time, you watch the environments that person's in. They're in church. Let me just say today, don't miss church. Don't miss church. Well, there are times you have to. I got that, but we got a podcast every week and a CD every week. Don't miss church. You don't have an excuse. We live in a day and age in our technology. You don't have to miss. Now, that doesn't mean you can never come and I'll just listen to podcasts the rest of my life. But if there is a reason you can't be here, I understand. But be careful that you don't go and pretend like you're not a church misser. See, you say one thing, but you do completely different. That's pretending. There are times that I understand you can't be in church. I get that. But come on, when it's been a whole 6 weeks, it's been 3 weeks since you've been. I mean, really? Come on, let's think. Now, there are times that I know we have some older people that may run to Texas for a month, that may do this on the East Coast. I get all that. But how important is church really? How important is church really when you weren't on a trip? You just slept in today. You just slept in today. That's really all that happened. See, proclamation and location without dedication is pretending. Let me say that one more time. Because that was really good. Proclamation and your location without being determined and consistent is pretending. Come on, we got to quit pretending. We got to be the real deal. Obviously, some that have medical conditions, shut-ins, that's not what I'm talking about. But let me just say it like this. If your church attendance, percentage-wise, was mimicked in your job, would you still keep your job? Wow. Where are you finding yourself on Friday night, on Saturday night? Where are you finding yourself? Your entertainment, who you're hanging with. See, location is everything if you're claiming to be a Christian and not pretending. Third is in application. What are you doing? A good book or movie becomes sometimes a priority over the things of God. Come on, a good book or movie or Facebook, it's a good thing over the things of God. If we want to really be able to live the Word of God, we got to know the Word of God. Everything has to be filtered through the Word of God. Life has to be lived through it. If you weren't here Wednesday night, pick up Wednesday night sermon. It talks about filtering the media because we have such a media-soaked generation and we're all in it that we can get so involved with the stuff that's coming in to us through the computer, through our cell phone, through media, right and left entertainment, that the Word of God is no longer our primary source of input. Church, here's the deal. I am tired of Christianity getting a bad rap. I'm tired of it. Let's just be the real deal. Or go out and say, I'm JK. That means just kidding. I'm pretending. I'm not really the real deal. See, what happens when you pretend as a child, people think it's cute. And everyone knows from the beginning that you're pretending. But as an adult, you're telling everybody you're fake. And you are not helping the cause of Christ. So I'm not here to say, be the real deal and tell everybody I hate God. No, be the real deal and step up and come on, let's be some Christian people. Let's be some Christian people in life. Let's love people. Let's do what the Bible, let's proclaim. Let's be in the right place, do the right thing, and quit pretending. Amen? Amen. Y'all stand with me this morning. Just for a moment, heads bowed and eyes closed. Today, if there's an area that just really spoke to you, I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I'm not going to have you come forward. But right now, just with heads bowed, eyes closed, just in here. Just for a moment, because you'll get to your car and you'll forget this word. There'll be people that will, because as soon as it goes out, the Bible says that the thief comes to steal it. Satan's coming to steal the word as soon as you get out of here. So right now, will you just do business with God and say, God, I'm going to quit pretending in this area. Now, as you confess that to him, you're not confessing it to him so you can go out and really stab somebody. You're not confessing that to him because you want to be like the world. You're confessing, I got to quit pretending and I've got to have your heart. I got to have your mind, God. I got to quit thinking and acting and reasoning. I got to quit doing that as a child. I got to quit speaking the wrong thing. I got to speak the right thing. Lord, I need to act. I need to do right. But see, that's between you and God because you fooled everybody else. Everybody else in here, it's just between you and God. And know this, he knows your heart. You're not going to pull one over on him. He knows it all. He created you. He knows what you're thinking. Don't get mad at me. Just talk to him. Lord, help me. I don't want to be a pretender. I want to be the real deal.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.